Yeah, well, she just beat the snot out of the shed out back, so I think Riley will be safe for the next few hours. In the future, though, a punching bag might be a smart buy. This is going to be really hard, Jake. I mean, how are we going to get these kids through this? I don't know how I can do it myself. It's just unbelievable, you know? One minute he's here, and the next... Luke struggled for control, but it was a losing battle. How do you go on when your world has crumbled around you? His brows furrowed as he tipped his head in my direction. It was as if Luke had just realized he'd inadvertently personalized the question towards my own formerly crushed past. I didn't mean like I was trying to get advice from you because you know what it's like to... He stopped himself, looking miserable. Anyway, it was a rhetorical question. Yeah, I got that. You know the thing I keep thinking about over and over? It's not Sydney and Riley being orphans or my parents having to bear the loss of their son. All I can think about is that I don't have anyone to call a brother anymore. Brothers are like, well, you know, it's just different. You're connected in ways that are hard to explain. I always took for granted Miles would be there for me, that I could call him up if I was having a bad day or needed advice. But now he's gone and I just don't have a brother anymore. Luke's body shook from the force of the realization, and I felt the pain right alongside him. There was a time in my life where I thought I'd lost everyone I loved. The despair was raw, and I was filled with so much regret for what could have been. As luck would have it, I was given a second chance. But sadly, Luke never would. I reached out and gripped his shoulder. I know I'm not Miles, but I'll be your brother whenever you need one.
Chapter 13. Runaway Train. The weird thing about life was that it just kept moving on. I watched the days pass by with little interest. It was times like this that I was grateful I was an accountant. There were no emotions in numbers. You could always count on them to be there when you needed them. When it came to work productivity, I'd never been quicker or more efficient than I was now, in the throes of grief. The faster I worked, the more files flooded my inbox, and I attacked them with vigor, feeling nothing but gratitude for their sterile distraction. After spending 4 weeks with my family, I returned to Jake and the tour. Although he'd been ready to call it off altogether, my mother made him promise to continue on like nothing had happened. But something had happened, and now everything was different. The joy was gone. I stopped going to Jake's concerts. The excitement of the crowd, once the source of much enjoyment, now rang hollow to me. How could anyone be happy in a world where my brother no longer existed? I cried a lot now. Sometimes it was as little as a swelling of tears in my eyes, but other times it went all the way up to gargantuan crying marathons that lasted hours and involved anyone unlucky enough to cross my path. Usually that person was Jake. Although he was outwardly supportive, I could feel him pulling away. Or maybe it was me pushing him in that direction. I wasn't sure if there was a difference, really. Either way, I felt the distance between us as if we were separated by oceans. Intimacy was a thing of the past, as I couldn't seem to coax my body into feeling anything but numbness. The last time we'd tried, I was more like a limp rag doll than a vibrant young newlywed wife. It wasn't like I wanted it to be that way. I just couldn't come up with any way around the pain that stabbed into my heart on an hourly basis. The fun time leader that the crew had counted on to brighten up their stops along the way was no more. The magic was gone, and each city blended into the next in a haze of monotony. I began wandering, sometimes for hours on end, just going wherever my feet would take me. The first time I wandered, it caused a panic between Jake and his security crew, so now I was assigned a bodyguard at every stop. Today's trek had led me to a quaint main street in the old part of town where I found a comfortable deli and bakery with an outdoor seating area. Glancing around my surroundings, I took in the sight and smells. Young and old alike were milling around, waiting for their thinly sliced meat on fresh-baked bread. I'd found myself here after a good 4-mile walk. At least it was good for me. Poor Dom, today's reluctant bodyguard, was currently resting his weary feet at a table off in the corner. His bald head was flushed crimson, and droplets of sweat raced down his face like rain on a windshield. It was clear he wasn't used to getting this type of cardio workout. Or maybe it was just the duration of walk that had done him in. After this hike, he was sure to ask for reassignment. What did I care? If Jake insisted on having me followed, then his cronies had damn well better be able to keep up. A screaming toddler pulled my focus off Dom. Good Lord, the kid had a set of lungs on him. I watched the young mother with interest as she tried to get her offspring in line. But he wasn't having any of it, and threw his body onto the floor in a display of unmatched fury. Instead of inspiring me to move away from the tantrum, the boy's rage actually brought a smile to my face. What could possibly be so terrible in his little world to warrant such a reaction? With her baby girl in one arm, the mother attempted to right her small charge, but he'd taken to arching his back in protest. The woman glanced at me, blowing a strand of hair out of her eyes. I smiled at her sympathetically. "You like babies?" she asked, ready to hand hers off to me. I don't know. Did I? I used to love children, but now even they held no joy for me. This looks like it'll be a two-hand job. I held out my arms for her. Why not? What else did I have to do? Besides, Dom needed a breather before I led him back to the stadium. The moment the warm little bundle was placed in my arms, I felt an instant thawing of my steely heart. The baby peered up at me, her eyes so filled with wonder at the world around her. Her innocence captivated me. I ran my finger along the top of her nose, and the baby reached up to grab it. I beamed at the sweet thing. The mother looked up from the deep negotiation she was having with her toddler to check on us. Again, we exchanged smiles, and she resumed the task at hand. Returning my attention to the baby, I was surprised to see she was still watching me intently, and I wondered what she saw. I could only imagine how unimpressed she must be. But then again, maybe babies had superpowers that we adults just overlooked. Maybe this baby girl could see past the sadness. Maybe old Casey was in there smiling back at her. The thought gave me a surprising measure of peace. I was still me. Wounded, but me. Feeling lighter than I had in weeks, I made a fish face, mugging for my infant audience until she let loose the most adorable giggle I think I'd ever heard in my life. It was music to my ears, and for the first time in a long while, I laughed. Holding this treasure gave me a feeling of pure, unbridled happiness. Suddenly, I understood what needed to be done to turn this out-of-control train around. I needed a baby. Jake and I needed a baby. It was the only answer that made sense to me, and it had been right in front of me all along. So what if Jake hadn't worked out his issues with being a father? He could always just learn on the job. We could do this. I could come out of this tragedy intact. All I needed was one of these. I hadn't even realized I was crying until the baby's mother stared at me in alarm. "Oh," I smiled, wiping the tears away. "Sorry. She's just so beautiful." The tension eased off her face as I handed the baby back. "Are you all right?" she asked, her forehead furrowed in worry. "I will be, in about 9 months." Giving Dom a break, I allowed him to call for a ride. I needed to get back to Jake as quickly as possible. If all went as planned, I'd be on my back within the hour. Jake was in the bus with Sean going over the night's playlist when I burst through the door. His eyes widened in surprise at the sight before him. I was smiling. Sean looked between the two of us and excused himself. Once he left, I flung myself on Jake, kissing him all over. And instead of asking me a series of questions, he just accepted the sudden change for what it was, a welcome relief.
"You're a breath of fresh air," he said, working his lips around the back of my neck where he knew it drove me wild.
"I feel good, babe. I finally figured it out."
"Figured what out?"
"How to recover from the loss."
Jake extracted his lips from my skin and appeared every bit as interested in my magical cure as I had been at the deli.
"How?"
"A baby," I said, nearly clapping out my excitement.
"A baby?" he queried,
with none of my glee. "Yes, a baby," I confirmed, grabbing his hands and pulling him onto the sofa with me. "Hear me out." I went on to explain what happened at the deli and the reasoning behind the decision. And although he didn't seem entirely convinced, Jake didn't veto the plan either. Not that he really could, anyway. The last couple of months had seen a shift in the balance of our relationship. While we had once been equals, the power now tipped in my direction. His whopping hang-ups, which had always ruled our world, had all but taken a back seat to mine. I told Jake that the pain I felt on a daily basis was like a heavy fog that couldn't dissipate because there was no sunshine to scare it away. Babies were sunshine. I spoke of recovery and happiness, something that would come when I had my own child to dote on. And surprisingly, Jake hung on my every word, the hope in his eyes a telling sign of the weeks of struggle we'd experienced together. Of course, I understood that was why he was being so pliable with my idea in the first place. He was ready to grab for any rope I dangled in front of him. My poor husband just wanted peace back and was willing to sacrifice his own well-being for the sake of it. If I was promising him a better, less stressful life, he was inclined to slurp up the Kool-Aid I was pouring.
"If that's what you think will make you happy, Casey, I'm willing to try. But you have to do something for me then. Actually, a couple of things."
"Okay, what?"
"No more wandering. And you and I need to start talking again like we used to. We need to be the pair we've always been. If you can promise me that, I will do my best to give you a baby."
I wrapped my arms around him as tightly as I could. That was a deal I was more than willing to make. Say what you will about my ill-conceived notion that a child was the answer to life's problems, but trying to conceive had started the healing process, even if it was only one tiny baby step at a time. My mind wasn't constantly consumed with death anymore, and I was able to venture back into the world. I returned to the sidelines of his concerts and took joy in his successes once again. And as my mood improved, Jake took notice, and our playful banter returned. That didn't mean there wasn't any more crying, because there was, lots of it. But it seemed more manageable now, like there was a beginning and an end to the sadness. Things were still hard, and the setbacks all-consuming, but now I knew I could survive this. I was stealthy enough to move through this world until my strength returned. And with Jake by my side, I couldn't fail.
Chapter 14. A Screeching Halt. I checked my phone. Damn it. I stepped up my pace. There was an ovulation chart to take into consideration, and I'd promised Casey I'd be back in 3 hours. Unfortunately, there'd been label bigwigs in attendance, and I was expected to kiss their asses for a reasonable amount of time after the concert, so by the time I was able to leave the venue, it was already pushing 4 hours, and Casey's window of opportunity was closing. According to her, not science. Casey was probably already lying in bed waiting impatiently for me to deposit my seed. She'd expect me to be locked and loaded the minute I walked through the door. I sighed. There was nothing sexy about baby-making, at least not the way we were doing it. But failure was not an option. I had to put a baby in her stomach or all hell would break loose. Cringing, I thought about our earlier encounter. I hated arguing with her. Usually I was able to hold my tongue, knowing she didn't really mean the things she said these days. But sometimes Casey just got to me. Like when she tried to coerce me into making a baby an hour before I was set to perform. Snapping at her the way I did only made things worse, though. It brought on another one of her marathon crying sessions, which I hated even more than the arguing. As much as I didn't want a baby, I hoped to God she got pregnant sooner rather than later, because I knew she wasn't capable of withstanding the myriad emotions that went along with one failed conception after another. After all, this was the woman who'd begun an ovulation chart the same month we started trying. She was leaving nothing to chance, which meant if things didn't go her way, the progress we'd made in the last couple months would be all for naught. Believe it or not, this was progress. After her brother died, Casey stayed behind with her family as I continued on with the tour. I was making plans to cancel the whole thing when Linda talked me out of it. There was no point in me sitting around miserable, she'd said, when I could be on the stage making other people happy. It was what both she and Casey wanted, so after a 2-week hiatus, I returned to the tour. Casey joined me a couple weeks later, a broken woman. She floundered for weeks before hitting upon her plan for a baby. Initially, I'd been reluctant, but after we began trying, her mood improved, so I jumped onto the baby train feet first. No matter that I had a deep fear of being a father, my issues had long since taken a back seat to hers, and I gladly focused my energy on her recovery instead. Still, I hated that she was questioning my loyalty. I had never once given her any reason to doubt it. Giving up on her was not an option. My phone buzzed in my pocket. I purposely ignored it at first because I assumed it was one of the crew with a problem, and I wasn't turning back around. But then I worried it might be Casey, so I pulled it out of my pocket and checked the screen. Luke. Fuck. Why was he calling me? He only dialed my number when things had gone to shit, and he wanted me to relate the information. I drew in a sharp, ragged breath before forcing myself to answer. Hey, Luke. Hey, is Casey with you? No, I'm just walking back to the bus. Do you want me to get her? No, that's why I called you. I could hear the stress in his voice and instantly sensed trouble. Tension settled in my shoulders. Why? What's wrong? Luke hesitated. Luke, what's wrong? Okay, so... Mom's in the hospital. I felt like the wind had been knocked out of me. My thoughts shifted straight to Casey. She couldn't take much more. Why? What happened? Doctors think it might be a mild heart attack. With her high blood pressure and all the stress of the past few months, it's taken its toll on her. Jesus, I exhaled. Is she going to be all right? Yeah, she's doing okay. The doctors aren't even sure if it was actually a heart attack yet. It's possible she just had a panic attack. They're running more tests. But Jake, regardless of what they show, Mom's really run down. She needs a break, and I know that Casey's not doing great herself, and you guys are on tour and everything. Luke's voice wavered. But I think I'm really going to need her. Yeah, of course, but... I hesitated, knowing Casey didn't want her family worrying about her. She's pretty fragile herself. I know, but she has to be more help than Dad. He has zero patience with Sydney. Okay, let me talk to Casey. I'll get her on a plane. Thanks, Jake. Sorry to keep dumping all this on you. It's more than you signed up for. No, it's not. I'll call you back soon. Thanks, man. Casey took the news about as well as could be expected. Of course, she wanted to get to her mother right away, but she would have to wait a few hours for flights into Arizona. I'd been making plans to go with her when Luke called back to let us know Linda hadn't had a heart attack, but was suffering with an acute case of heartburn that simulated chest pains. She was expected to remain in the hospital a few days to undergo further testing. I held Casey as we waited for her to board the plane. I brought along a small army of bodyguards with me today because I wanted to protect Casey from any further stress, and to be honest, I was in no mood myself to deal with a fan encounter. Sorry I didn't get home sooner last night. We never had a chance to make a baby. I know. Bart will just have to wait another month. Bart will have to wait a lifetime because I'm never naming my kid that. We laughed at our shared joke before her face took a turn for the serious. Jake, I don't know when I'm coming back. If my mom needs help, I might have to stay. I nodded solemnly. I knew it was coming, but hearing it from her made it more real. It's not that I didn't want her to help out her family. It was that so much distance between us probably wasn't the best thing for our relationship right now. What's that look? She asked, running her fingers along my face. Look? I asked, adopting an air of innocence. I don't have a look. Casey touched the space between my brows. Liar. I can always tell when something's bothering you by the crinkled ridge that forms here. You're scarily perceptive, I replied, with the hint of a grin. Wrapping her arms around my neck, she gave my lips a lingering kiss. I'm going to come back. I placed my hands on her hips and stared deeply into her brown eyes. I know you will. Though in the back of my mind, I wasn't so sure.
Chapter 15. What could go wrong? The man waiting for me near baggage claim was nearly unrecognizable. In fact, at first, I'd ignored his efforts to get my attention until I took a closer look and nearly passed out from the shock.
Luke? Who else would I be?
He smiled, but there wasn't a drop of levity behind it. Even his eyes, always so expressive, gave off no warmth. I don't know, you look totally different. Granted, it had been a couple of months since I'd seen him last, but Luke had made the transformation of all transformations. Did you dye your hair? The mere uttering of the sentence seemed ridiculous, but here I was staring at my brother, whose normally dark, close-cropped hair was now licking at his ears and highlighted with streaks of blonde.
No, I just woke up one day and it was this color.
Really? Somehow that made more sense than him dyeing it.
No, of course I dyed it. Or a friend of mine did. I take it you don't like it?
I'm shocked, is all. It might take some getting used to. The other thing that was tripping me up was his weight, or the lack thereof. He caught me eyeing him and answered my question before I asked it.
I've lost some weight.
Some? Are you okay? You're not sick, are you?
No, Casey, I just lost some weight. No big deal.
It's not some weight, Luke. You've lost everything. I mean, you look... I'll tell you what he looked like. A completely different person. And it wasn't just his outward appearance that had me all weirded out. There was a change in his overall personality as well. No longer the jovial goofball, Luke had a strained exterior now. As if his light, which had always burned so bright inside him, had burned out. My God, I'd been wallowing in my own sadness for so long that I hadn't even stopped to consider what Luke was going through. Sure, Mom had said she was worried about him, but she didn't mention this full-body makeover.
Would you please stop staring at me?
Sorry. You could have warned me. I mean, would a Facebook update have killed you? Instead of answering, he bent down and hugged me.
How are you doing, sis?
I fell heavily into his arms, feeling sluggish and worn and in need of my big brother's comfort, even if he now looked like a beach bum. I'm okay, I sighed.
That's not what Jake says.
I didn't answer. What was the point in defending myself when neither one of us would believe it anyway? How's Mom? I talked to her just before the flight. She sounded pretty good.
Yeah, but you know Mom. She's pretending everything's fine in order to get home.
You don't think she should leave the hospital?
Not if, when she gets home, it'll be business as usual.
We exchanged a knowing glance. Who's got them right now?
Aunt Sherry came over to watch them so Dad could stay at the hospital, but she won't be able to handle them tonight, so you and I will need to take over.
I nodded. How are they?
Riley's doing okay, actually. We've been keeping him busy in sports. But Sydney...
Luke shook his head.
She's a handful, to say the least.
My eyes clouded over. It was no wonder. She misses her mom and dad.
We all do.
I know, but it's not the same for us. We lost our brother and sister-in-law. Sid lost her mom and dad. I can't imagine how that feels.
She keeps asking for you, Case. She's gotten worse since you left.
I know. I talk to her every day. I can hear a difference.
Here's the thing. Mom needs rest. She's having a lot of trouble controlling Sid. And Dad, he's no help at all. He has a really short fuse with her. Mom is doing everything.
Could we hire someone to come in during the days?
They're at school during the days. That's not the problem. It's the nights and weekends. And now that summer break is coming up for them in about a week, I seriously don't know how Mom and Dad are going to handle it.
Maybe summer camps, I said, brainstorming. And we'll get them a babysitter to come in a few hours a day.
Or I was thinking...
Luke stopped mid-sentence, running his fingers through his newly grown-out hair. What?
Of getting them away completely for a few weeks, so Mom can heal.
You're going to take them on vacation? I asked, surprised he'd even consider such a thing. But then, with his alter ego in charge now, maybe he was evolving.
No, Casey, not me. I was thinking maybe you and Jake could take them. I mean, summer break starts next week. Jake's on tour. It might be fun for them to see what that's all about. And during tour stops, you can take them on little adventures, maybe. I could even get a week off myself and come and help. I don't know. It probably won't work, but I'm just throwing things out there at this point.
I bit down on my lower lip, thinking over his proposal. I'd have to ask Jake. It's not the worst idea, though.
Right? He brightened. It would give Mom a chance to rest up, and I think it would be good for Sydney to have you around. She needs a mother figure right now, and our mother just ain't cutting it.
Because she's exhausted, I said, defending her.
I was kidding. Damn, my jokes aren't landing anymore. Maybe I was only funny when I was the fat best friend.
Stop it, I said, punching him in the side. Anyway, I don't think I'm much of a role model myself.
None of us are right now. We're all doing the best we can.
The look in his eyes gave me pause. Things had gone downhill since I'd left 3 months ago. That much was obvious. I'll call Jake tonight and run it by him, but he should be fine with it. Luke snorted.
Oh, he's going to love it. Nothing spells fun like two bratty kids.
My eyes sparkled in mischief. We'll leave the bratty part out, shall we?
I think we shall.
My brother and I grinned at one another as I linked my arm in his and said, Take me to Mom. My mother was holding court when I arrived in her hospital room. A female nurse and male orderly were laughing politely at something she'd said. I marveled at her strength. After her son and daughter-in-law died, she'd allowed herself several days to grieve before wiping away the tears, rolling up her sleeves, and getting to work making a stable home for her grandchildren to live in. In fact, they left their own home of 30 years to move into Miles and Darcy's house so the kids would feel as comfortable as possible during this horrible time in their lives. Her devotion was admirable, for sure, but my mother hadn't allowed herself enough time to heal from the trauma of losing her oldest son, and the stress of it all was dragging her down. And now she was here, entertaining the hospital staff, when what she needed was both physical and mental rest.
Casey!
She became even more animated upon seeing me.
This is my daughter.
Then, from behind her hand, she motioned with her thumb. The one I told you about. Surely Mom had given them the lowdown on my hot rock star husband, and the three of us exchanged awkward hellos as they looked me up and down. I mean, what were they expected to say? Congratulations? I walked over and hugged my father, before leaning down and kissing my mom's cheek. The words I'd intended to speak sank down into my chest as I fought to control my emotions. This incident proved she was only human, and that realization scared me. I couldn't lose her, too.
None of that, Casey. I'm fine. Everyone's making a big deal out of nothing. It was just a little heartburn.
Embarrassing, really. I'm absolutely fine and ready to go home.
You aren't fine, Mom. You need rest. This happened because you're overstressed and not taking care of yourself.
Everyone's making such a fuss. It's annoying.
Because we need you. Mom, you've got to get healthy. None of us can survive without you.
I sniffled through each painful word.
You're what's keeping us all intact.
What do you want me to do? I can't be lying in this hospital bed. Those kids need me at home.
Well, I'm here now, and I'll take care of them while you get the rest you need.
My father perked up right away, grabbing my hand and squeezing it. I hate that you have to come here and take time away from Jake and your life, she said.
I promise. Just a few days and I'll be as good as new.
After spelling out for Jake the situation at home and the need to get the kids away for a while, I dropped the bomb.
How long are we talking?
He asked, trying to disguise the doubt in his voice. Neither one of us was used to caring for kids 24/7, so I got his hesitation. I was feeling the same way.
3 or 4 weeks. I'll take them on outings at the different stops.
The travel might be tough on them, and the bus feels pretty confining after a while.
We'll manage.
And what about your work?
I'll take some time off as soon as I finish the clients I'm working on now. Jake, I know this isn't ideal, but under the circumstances, I don't see any other alternative. I could stay here for the next few weeks, but I know my mom. She won't rest. This is the only way.
Checking us all into a mental institution seems easier.
No doubt. I laughed at the visual image of his coping strategy.
But we'll make it work, he conceded.
You're sure?
No,
he chuckled.
I'm not sure at all, but I can always force Lassen to babysit for a few hours if they get to be too much to handle.
Oh, no, I cringed. I didn't think about him.
I mean, Lassen can't even deal with a single Kleenex in his trash can,
Jake said.
How will he handle two little germ magnets?
Casey! Sydney screeched as she flung herself into my arms and buried her head in my stomach. She'd become so clingy, something so out of character for the precocious child she'd always been. I missed you so much! I smothered my niece in kisses, letting her hang all over me. I missed you too. A dead weight smashed into my back, dislodging Sydney. Riley! She shouted, punching her brother in the leg. Go away! Sid, he wants to see me too. Be nice. Although I could tell she was fuming, I needed to set a firm tone now or she'd walk all over me later. Besides, Riley, with his big gap-toothed grin, was a sight for sore eyes. I grabbed him and tried to kiss him, but he squirmed away and took off running in the other direction. Don't you run away from me, little boy! I gave chase, but that only resulted in him running faster as he squealed with laughter. Oh, I'm going to get you at some point, Riley James, and when I do, I'm going to triple kiss you. No! Riley screamed and hid behind the chair. Never! Casey! Casey! Sid's whole body was hanging from my arm. Are you going to stay now that Grams is sick? Her eyes were filled with hope, and my heart broke for her. I hugged her again.
Better. Riley? Come here, you'll want to hear this. I promise not to kiss you if you surrender in full.
My nephew crawled out from his hiding spot, but still stayed a cootie safe distance away from me. So I'm going to stay with you until you finish school next week. That's just what I figured. Then you're going to leave us again, Sid huffed, sending a pile of papers to the floor in one fell swoop.
Sydney!
Shocked by her sudden burst of anger, I stood there staring at my niece. This was going to be harder than I'd anticipated. Would Jake be able to handle this? More importantly, would Lassen? Pick that up. She crossed her arms and adopted the sourest of sourpuss faces. We stood there like that at an impasse for so long that Riley actually came over to pick up the mess. Nope, not you, Riley. I appreciate the effort, but that's Sydney's tantrum and she gets to be the one who cleans it up. Still no compliance. Okay, I guess I'll just take Riley outside and tell him alone. Do it. Riley can't keep his mouth shut. I'll know 20 seconds after you tell him, and the paper will still be on the ground. Luke, who'd apparently been standing in the doorway for our entire hopeless deadlock, joked,
I see you've met Sydney.
A long, shrill scream inexplicably originated from somewhere deep within our niece's body and saturated the room with negativity. Sid, stop screaming. I tried to grab her, but she pivoted and sprang down the hallway to her room. The door slammed shut. Luke and I stared at each other, frozen in place, our ears ringing off the hook.
Was it something I said?
Luke asked, wisely keeping his voice low. I rolled my eyes at him.
She was quite wonderful for me.
Luke and I startled, both forgetting Aunt Sherry was at the house babysitting while Mom and Dad were at the hospital.
A perfect angel, actually. Of course, I was never a permissive mother. My kids always had the best behavior.
Yeah, they're awesome. Well, we really appreciate you babysitting,
Luke said, as he grabbed her purse and escorted our aunt to the door.
We'll see you real soon, Aunt Sherry. Thanks again.
Once the door was shut, his eyebrow lifted skeptically, and he said,
Correct me if I'm wrong, but she's the one who raised Doug. The adulterer who broke up three marriages and got his daughter's third-grade teacher fired, right?
I nodded.
Wow. Mother of the year.
Suddenly, the door down the hall opened and Sydney yelled out, I don't care about your stupid surprise anyway! We exchanged resigned expressions. She was going to need to be dealt with.
The only question was who got the honors. Luke sighed, getting his hands ready to duel.
Rock, paper, scissors?
No, I'll do it. I need to get my feet wet before I have her with me full-time for a month.
That's exactly what I was hoping you'd say.
Sydney, it's Casey. I pushed the door open to find my niece under her blanket. I reached for it, but she yanked back, and we played tug-of-war for a few seconds before I got the upper hand and pulled the soft fleece off her. I don't want to fight with you, Sid. I just got here, and I want us to have fun together, like old times. All you have to do is come back out and pick up the mess, and then we can have fun and you can hear my surprise. I'm not coming out while Luke's there. Why? Because he was making fun of me. I wanted to argue that it was just Luke and that he was only kidding, but looking at it through her eyes, I guessed I could see her point. If I get Luke to say he's sorry, will you apologize to me and clean up the mess? Sydney considered my compromise for an extended period of time before finally nodding. It was a small victory, but not without significance. Now I knew she was a pliable opponent, if not a pleasant one. Luke dutifully apologized, and after the paper and pens were picked up, both kids sat on the sofa, rapt with attention. Riley's cheeks were burning bright with excitement, and even Sydney, used to playing hard to get, seemed sufficiently curious. How would you two like to go on an adventure? An adventure? Sydney asked, with interest. Like a jungle safari? I want to go on a monster truck safari, Riley added. No, I said, deflating a bit. Their idea of adventure differed a bit from mine, for sure. Cramped in a tour bus, driving for hours on end, maybe it wasn't as exciting as I'd hoped it would be for the kids. No, none of those ideas, though they do sound fun. My adventure is a little different. How would you like to go on tour? Sid's face lit up. Really? With Jake? Well, yes, and me too. But Jake will be there the whole time, right? Yes, the whole time. Yay! Sydney jumped from her seat and cheered. Did you hear that, Riley? Jake's going to be there. And me too, I reiterated, but no one was listening to me. By now, Riley was on his feet too, jumping up and down. We're going on tour, baby, she sang out, and Riley repeated her word for word. I doubted he even knew what going on tour meant, but it didn't matter. Sydney's happiness was all it took to spread the joy. I'm going to go pack now, Sydney said, racing down the hall. Come on, Riley. He happily followed after her like the obedient little brother he was. We aren't leaving for another week, I called after them, but they were already gone. After so much heartache, these kids finally had something to look forward to. My worry was whether Jake and I would be able to live up to expectation. Luke and I waved the kids off at school and then drove to a coffee shop. After parking, I sat in the car a few seconds longer than necessary. You weren't kidding about Sydney.
No.
She's exhausting, I admitted. Mom can't handle that day in and day out.
No.
The counseling doesn't seem to be helping.
No.
Stop saying no. Don't you have anything else to add?
What do you want me to say? I don't have an answer to this, other than to pawn them off on you and Jake for a few weeks.
Yeah, I like how you sprang it on me before I had a chance to see them in action with my own two eyes. Thanks for that, by the way. His brows furrowing in response, Luke said, with clear desperation in his voice,
You aren't backing out, are you?
Of course not. I'm just worried about Sydney. She's not the same girl.
And she probably never will be again. I think the goal now is to just make her a functioning member of society.
That's not enough. I want her to be happy.
Surrounded by all of us, sad sacks? Unlikely. Are you getting out of the car? I need coffee.
Luke and I waited in a line 8 people deep, feasting our eyes on the baked goods calling to us through the glass. While we waited for the person in front to pay for her order, a pretty young cashier smiled at Luke before gliding her eyes over me curiously.
Morning, Tess, he said. How's it going?
Can't complain. I haven't seen you in here for a while.
I thought maybe you didn't like the way I was preparing your coffee.
No, nothing so scandalous. I've just been holed up lately.
You haven't been sick, I hope.
She scanned him covertly, and I could tell she hadn't seen him since his massive weight loss either. It was rather jarring.
No, just, you know, hitting the gym.
Luke flexed his arms in an attempt to be the douchebag he'd only seen in movies. He failed miserably. My brother was just too nice a guy to ever pull off a move like that.
Well, you look great.
Her eyes lingered on him longer than was required for a random barista, and I took note. Luke, on the other hand, seemed completely oblivious. No wonder he never had a damn date. After sitting down with our coffee, I asked, "You know she likes you, right?"
"Who? Tess?"
he asked, glancing over.
"Extremely doubtful, if not downright delusional. She's dating some tool."
"Really? Because that's not how it looked to me. She seemed overly interested in you."
"Trust me, Casey. I'd have a better chance of winning the lottery than getting a girl like that. Can we talk about something else?"
"Like your weight loss?"
"Why is everyone making such a big deal out of it?"
"You really do look great, don't get me wrong. Are you actually going to the gym, or were you just trying to impress the girl?"
Luke looked up at me over his coffee cup and actually smiled.
"What do you think?"
"If I had to guess, then no."
"I've gone a few times, but people are crazy at gyms. This one time, I saw some idiot put a water bottle in the Pringles holder on the treadmill."
I laughed. Luke and his goofy personality were still in there. Still, I needed a little more from him to ease my mind.
"I'm just worried that it wasn't a conscious choice of yours to get healthy."
"Well, it wasn't like I said, 'My brother just died, whoopee, sign me up for Nutrisystem for Men.' I just don't feel like doing much of anything these days, and that includes eating. Right now, life just sucks."
"Don't I know it," I said, covering his hand with mine. "I've been pretty depressed myself. I am eating, though, but only to keep my strength up so I can continue to bully Jake into getting me pregnant."
"There you go, Casey. Projecting your misery onto others. Good for you."
"You know me. Always putting others before myself."
His eyes focused on his coffee, and he smiled, but it was heavy with strain.
"I'm doing better. I really am. Stop worrying about me."
"Sure, I'll just cross your name off my list of angst."
"Thank you. So are you pregnant?"
"No, we've only been trying for 3 months. It's probably for the best if we don't get pregnant, but it just doesn't feel like that. I want one so badly. A baby would bring joy back into our lives, don't you think?"
"A baby's just a band-aid, sis. It might stop the bleeding, but the reason for the wound will still exist. My advice would be to fix yourself first."
"That might take a lifetime," I huffed, taking a swig of coffee. "And I don't have the patience."
Both our phones buzzed at the same time, and we glanced down at the screens like mirror images.
"Mom's been discharged."
"Yep, let's get home."
Luke and I walked over to throw our cups away, and the barista called out to him,
"Have a great day, Luke."
And without hesitation, my brother answered, as he always did,
"Have a better one."
My mother arrived home later that afternoon, looking surprisingly strong and healthy. Her mood was upbeat as well. I didn't know what type of happy pills she was taking, but I wanted some. How could she have such a positive demeanor in these trying times? She couldn't. At least that's what I assumed. This whole thing had to be an act, and when she was alone, I was certain my mother was suffering in silence. This calmness of hers had to be denial all wrapped up in a pretty box with a magnificent bow. The first topic she wanted to discuss as she took her place on the couch with a glass of her favorite iced tea was the kids' impending departure. She didn't think it was necessary for them to leave and tried to pull rank by letting us know, in no uncertain terms, that she was their legal guardian and the decision was ultimately up to her.
"Well then, when you tell Sydney she doesn't get to go on tour with Jake, I want to be in an adjacent state," Luke said.
"Me too,"
Dad agreed. Mom's eyes shifted among the three of us. I could see her resolve fading.
"Fine, they can go.
It's not like you'll make it 4 weeks with them anyway.
The wheels touched down on the tarmac, and my heart leapt in my chest. We'd only been apart for a week, but it felt much longer. Jake had flown in from Texas on a private plane just to pick us up. It would have been easier for him to stay put and for us to travel to him, but Sydney begged him to come to the play her class was performing on the last day of school. Although we told her it wasn't possible, Jake secretly made plans to surprise her. He had exactly 4 hours in Arizona before we needed to be on the flight back for the evening concert he was to perform. Although it was just him getting off the flight, I pulled out a cardboard sign and held it over my head. It had become somewhat of a ritual for us, and Jake loved it every time. Sometimes it was just a flimsy piece of paper, and other times I went fancy with colored paint on thick paper stock. But regardless of the materials I used, the sign always had the same four letters on it. Cake. Jake smiled as he walked toward me and ducked under his paper greeting to give me a kiss.
You look hot, he commented.
Well, it is 93 degrees outside. He grinned.
Not what I meant, but okay.
Tucking the sign between my knees, I grabbed his face and planted one on him. I missed you.
I miss you too. Are you ready to be parents for the next month?
No. Are you?
God, no. It's going to be a disaster.
Or, I said coyly, we could totally surprise ourselves. He and I stared at each other for a moment before laughing and saying, nah. Sydney's class was preparing for the play, so Jake and I visited Riley's third-grade classroom first. They'd just started the party, and the children were lined up like little toy soldiers waiting for their turn to select their finger foods off the beautifully decorated table.
Did you make something?
Jake whispered in my ear.
I did. You want to guess which one?
He scanned the elaborate selection of items, all tailor-made for kids with fun little designs. There were deviled eggs sporting funny faces and pigs in a blanket shaped like actual pigs and rainbow fruit kebabs. And then there was mine. Jake was diligently trying to determine my contribution to the kid table when a smile spread out wide across his face.
You didn't.
I shrugged. They said to bring hors d'oeuvres.
They're third graders.
Okay, so maybe my shrimp skewers weren't the best choice, but how was I to know what a third-grade palate was like? At least the skewers were colorful little swords. That looked third-grade-ish, didn't it?
Jake McAllister, a voice from behind called out. Wow, I'm Tiffany. Welcome. I can't tell you how excited I am to meet you. I'm such a fan.
Tiffany was Miss Soriano, Riley's very young and very hot teacher. By the looks of things, she'd heard Jake was coming and had dressed accordingly in a body-hugging shirt that accentuated her bosom. Too bad the bulletin she received about his arrival didn't also include information on his marital status. However, because she was Riley's teacher, I was inclined to give her the benefit of the doubt. It was possible she'd been imprisoned in a foreign country or had tragically been stuck in a well around the time of our wedding. Whatever it was, no way was Miss Soriano trying to hijack my man. Or was she? Within seconds of her introducing herself, I was effectively boxed out of the conversation. Annoyed, I stood off to the side as a group began to form around him. I was about to swoop back in and rescue my husband when a strange sight caught my eye. A group of boys, Riley being one of them, was gathered around one central location. Curious, I wandered over and my eyes doubled in size at what I saw. My shrimp lying limp on the floor, and boys everywhere trying to stab each other with the plastic skewers. I gasped and looked back toward the teacher. She and all the mommies had formed a circle around Jake, and none were aware of the fight club that had materialized out of thin air. My hors d'oeuvres were to blame for this medieval swordplay, and I needed to get rid of the evidence before anyone noticed. Stomping my way into the circle, I went boy to boy with my palm laid flat. Hand it over, I demanded. One by one, the little swords filled my hand, and the boys scattered off. As I was about to pick up my discarded shrimp, I could hear Jake disengaging himself from the conversation to come find me. With no time left, I used my shoe to scoot the shrimp under Tiffany's desk. With any luck, They'd sit there all summer cooking up a nice stink just in time for the start of the new school year. Smiling, I tossed the skewers in the trash and rejoined my husband. My mom and dad were saving us seats in the front row of the auditorium, and we arrived just in time to see Sydney's class file in to take the stage. She glanced over and gave us each a wave before her eyes settled on Jake. A squeal could be heard throughout the room as she broke ranks, ran to him, and flung herself into his arms. "You came," she said, her cheeks flushed with excitement. Sid yanked on his arms, attempting to pull him from his chair. "Come on, I'll introduce you."
"Oh, no," Jake sat back. "I'm here to watch you on stage, not be on it myself. Besides, your play is starting."
"I don't care. It's stupid anyway. I'm playing a celery stick. I don't even like vegetables."
"Celery?" he laughed. "Dude, that sucks."
"I know," Sid rolled her eyes. "That's what I said. I wanted to be the strawberry, but the teacher gave it to Kimmy because she's such a suck-up."
"Okay."
Mom stood up and pulled Sydney off Jake. "Get up there and be the best celery stick you can be."
"Fine,"
she huffed, stomping her way back to stage before turning around and saying, loudly enough for the entire auditorium to hear, "I'm so over fifth grade."
Chapter 16. Parental Units.
"Catch me, Jake, catch me," Sydney said, as she hung precariously over the back of her airplane seat.
One false move and she'd be in his lap. Without even the slightest display of emotion, he reached out a hand and pushed her back over. This little scenario had played out no fewer than 12 times now, and by the blank look on his face, he'd gone into survival mode. I couldn't help but laugh, because otherwise, I'd be crying. We were officially in way over our heads. Jake shifted his eyes toward me, the only part of him apparently still functioning, then pretended to break down in tears. "Right back at you, bud." We'd managed to get Sid and Riley strapped in for takeoff, but once the flight leveled off, Jake and I had made the rookie mistake of letting them take their seatbelts off, essentially setting them free to wreak havoc on every unsuspecting adult on the flight. Thankfully, this was a private jet, and besides the two pilots and a flight attendant, the only other ones with us were on Jake's payroll, so they had no choice but to grin and bear it.
"There are only two of them, right?"
Jake asked.
"I can't tell because they seem to have multiplied."
He was right. We were only an hour into the two-hour flight, and Sydney had already visited the pilots twice, been in the bathroom four times, and had sung the song from Frozen, oh, I'd say maybe 14 times. Not to be outdone, Riley had pulled out every elementary school game at his disposal. Right now he was playing Duck Duck Goose, and yet still somehow had managed to fit time into his busy schedule to eat a snack in every unoccupied seat on the plane. The worst of it was, neither one seemed remotely close to slowing down. As for Jake and me, the past hour spent chasing them down had used up every last bit of our reserves, and we were now slumped lethargically in our chairs.
"Yes, only two," I confirmed for him.
"I think I can officially say we suck at parenting."
"Agreed," I nodded my head.
"Thank God we didn't get pregnant." "I wasn't going to say that, but it's exactly what I was thinking," he said. Then added, "Maybe once we grow up."
"Yes, that seems like a smart plan. Let's grow up first." He stuck his hand across the aisle and we linked pinkies. It was the most energy either of us could muster. Sydney popped up from behind the seat like one of those terrifying Jack-in-the-Box toys. "Hey, Rockstar!" That was what she'd taken to calling him once the flight began. Jake displayed a pathetic little pout before turning his attention back to her.
"Yes, Sydney. What can I do for you?"
"Are we going to your concert tonight?"
Before he could give her an answer, Riley burst forth from behind Jake's chair and walloped him on top of the head.
"Duck!"
he yelled, a look of glee on his 7-year-old face as he jumped off the seat and took off running. Jake's eyes followed Riley up the aisle.
"Does he really think I'm going to chase after him when he gets to Goose?"
I turned my head toward my sweet hubby and smiled. We both knew he would.
"So are we going to the concert or what?"
Sid asked again, but this time she would not be ignored. Grasping Jake's chin in her fingers, she turned his face toward her.
It depends. Are you going to be good?
He asked her.
Doc!
Riley popped me on the shoulder, choosing that spot because, with Vadim, Jake's bodyguard, sitting directly behind me, he couldn't reach my head. Again, my nephew took off running. So far, this was a game I could get behind because it hadn't required any extra movement on my part. Sydney leaned all the way over until her forehead was nearly touching Jake's.
Define good.
You want a definition, do you? Jake asked, breaking out a smile.
It was no secret he loved her spunk. Regardless of how shitty we were at parenting, Sydney needed him. At this difficult point in her life, he seemed the only person she respected enough to listen to.
Okay. Good means that you do what Auntie Casey says, that you don't get in the way of the crew, and that you don't run out onto the stage and sing Let It Go while I'm performing.
That's it? She said, actually wiping her brow with the back of her hand. What a relief!
Sydney let go of his chin and disappeared over her chair again. Jake and I exchanged confused expressions. What did that mean? What exactly was her definition of good? But before we could get our answer, Riley skipped by us, stopping in front of Vadim.
Duh.
He was only halfway through the word when Vadim grabbed his hand mid-duck.
Don't even think about it, kid,
he said in a menacing growl while throwing in a lip curl to the threat.
Vadim!
Jake shot up from his chair, hands balled into fists. His reaction was so swift that it startled everyone on the plane.
Get your hands off him now!
Vadim immediately let go, and Riley, frightened not only by Vadim's actions but also by Jake's sudden eruption, burst into tears, flinging himself into my arms.
What do you think you're doing?
Jake asked, bristling.
These kids are not my job,
Vadim challenged, clearly incensed and not backing down. If it came to it, he had the size and training to take Jake out in less than two moves. It's what made him a great bodyguard, but also a feared human being.
Your job is what I say it is. These kids are my family, and you'll treat them with respect or you can find yourself new employment.
The two glared at one another. Vadim had been with Jake for years, and in all the time I'd known him, I'd never seen them disagree. But then he barely spoke to me in the first place. When he had something to say to Jake, he always pulled him aside for a private discussion, as if I could not be trusted with pertinent information. I'd never really cared for him, but at the same time, I always felt that both Jake and I were safer when he was around.
Sorry,
Vadim mumbled, breaking eye contact with Jake and leaning back in his seat. I could only imagine what it took for him to stand down when it was clear by his body language that was the last thing he wanted to do. Jake stood there a moment, still fuming, so I grabbed his hand, forcing his attention away from Vadim. Both Sydney and Riley had been watching the exchange intently, and how he handled himself now would be etched in their memories for a long time. I motioned toward the kids with my eyes, and then at his chair. The situation diffused, he nodded, but before taking his seat, Jake got the last word in with Vadim.
Don't ever touch him again.
You want to talk about what happened earlier? I asked, as he was getting ready for the concert. We'd arrived at the venue a couple hours earlier, but with the kids occupying every second of that time, this was the first opportunity I'd had to talk to him. And if it weren't for Kyle wandering into the hornet's nest and unwittingly taking over the parenting duties, we wouldn't even have had this chance. Seemingly bothered by the incident with Vadim, Jake didn't look my way when he said,
"Not particularly."
I get why you were angry. I was too. Vadim didn't have any right to grab him like that.
No, he didn't,
Jake said, edgy once more.
There was no excuse. He was trying to intimidate Riley, and I'm not going to put up with that shit.
I understood then that this wasn't just about Riley. Vadim's aggressive behavior had triggered something in him. I imagine he'd been in Riley's shoes more times than he could count. The difference being, he hadn't had anyone to stand up for him during those dark times. His protective instincts had kicked in the minute Vadim grabbed Riley, and I had no doubt he would have defended his nephew with his life. I respected the hell out of him for that. Hey, I slid my arms around his back. Don't feel bad. You did the right thing.
No. I lost my cool in front of them. In front of everyone.
A little bit, maybe.